Well, good evening, everybody. It's good to see you. Is it good to be here? Yes. I've lost my screen. Oh, maybe because we're not up yet. We're just loading. There it is. The technology is working. Well, I want to pray immediately. You'll remember last week I mentioned when I had seen angels that I was going to preach on something which was difficult. And I really had the sense that the angels were all around the room. And whether we can see them or not, they are here supporting us. And I just want to pray protection over us, because tonight we're going to be doing some, or I'm going to be doing some teaching on bad angels. Okay? I realized that I couldn't get away without it, because it won't give you the whole picture. I was going to do it in another series, but I'm going to do an introduction this evening to bad angels. So let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we know that you are here with us by the power of your Spirit. And we know that your promises are true. And Lord, we know that you protect your children. Lord, that we have the armor of God upon us. And as I'm preaching or praying about that now, we can imagine ourselves putting on your armor. Lord, we pray protection over us this evening, as we come to learn a bit more and to see who our adversary is, and as we look at the thing called bad angels. Lord, we have nothing to fear, and the name of Jesus is powerful above any other name. So we're in a safe place, we're safe with one another, and Lord, I just pray that you would just help us to sharpen our pencils on how to keep this armor on, that we would be able to engage and be safe in the spiritual battle that is raging all around us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I mean, we've been looking in the last two sessions in general at angels, haven't we? And we focused specifically for the last 2 weeks on good angels. And we've described angels as being created beings. They were created by Jesus. They have spirit bodies. They have a decision-making part of them. They have a soul, if you like. And they are eternal spirits. They are made higher than human beings. Jesus, when he became one of us, became a little lower than the angels. You and I are spirit beings, and we're only a little lower than the angels. So everything we're learning about, maybe we should beef our own self-image up a bit, because we are powerful spirit beings. Whilst we do not each have a guardian angel, do you remember we were talking about ministering angels? Angels do come. They are in the world. All good angels are ministering angels to the saints of God. And some of us, even without knowing it, may well have had a visitation or been involved with an angel. Now, the word angel, as we know, simply means messenger from God. Some angels, well, angels do have names, and only just a couple of them are in the Bible, the Archangel Michael and the Archangel Gabriel. We've looked at the various types of angelic beings. We've looked at the seraphim, the cherubim, archangels, and ministering angels. And hopefully you remember some of that as I throw out their names. We did say, and we know, that there is a war in heaven led by Lucifer. His name means light. But Lucifer fell, and he became Satan, otherwise known to us as the devil. So Lucifer, an angel of light, as we will see, he fell and has become the devil. He is a fallen angel. He is a bad angel. And we have a general term. We call it the demonic world or demons. We're going to look at bad angels this evening. And also next week, we'll be looking at the type of spiritual war that is going on, some of the tactics of the evil one, and how we can protect ourselves and engage in the battle. Bad angels are in heavenly places along with the good ones. The battle is going on in the heavenly realm, and it impacts the earth. It affects human beings. It affects the systems of governments on the world, and it affects the religions on the world, and it affects individuals. Bad angels, just like good angels, are very real. In fact, in some ways, it's easier to see the influence of bad angels over the whole planet, because everything that is bad, everything that is evil, it has come from the evil one and his hordes of bad angels. The Bible states that behind all false religion are demonic forces. For example, in Galatians 1:18, it says this: if we, now this is the apostles were talking to the church, if we, they said, or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. Now, you know that later on in this year, we're going to be looking at other religions, and I'm going to tell you and express what those religions believe and why they are completely the opposite to Christianity. And if we just think about a couple of angels that have started religions, I'm sure you are aware of this. Islam started when an angel masquerading as the Archangel Gabriel came to Muhammad and gave him a completely different gospel, which we know is contained within the Quran. Did you know it was an angel that actually wrote and dictated to Muhammad the Quran? Concerning Mormonism, another religion which claims to be Christian, but which isn't, the angel Moroni is an angel stated by Joseph Smith to have visited him on numerous occasions, actually beginning on September the 21st, 1823. So that visitation by an angel claimed by Joseph Smith gave rise to guardians of golden plates buried on the hill of Cumor, and that became the Book of Mormon. Did you know that? So the claim behind Islam and Mormonism is that angels are the ones who have started it. Not good angels, I might add. Did you know, in summary, that Jehovah's Witnesses? Did you know that they say that Michael, the archangel, is no other than the only begotten Son of God, now called Jesus Christ? Did you know that Jehovah's Witnesses believe that an angel is Jesus? They follow an angel. You see, the angelic war, the spiritual war that is going on, is sowing into every single system you can think of, governmental, political, educational, all systems. There is a war going on over that system. And the bad angels, or the demonic forces, are actually behind so many things that are bad in the world. In fact, the Bible does say everything that isn't of Christ, everything that isn't of the true gospel, actually has been sown, or behind it is the demonic forces. So for me, I'm quite a logical person. I kind of accept what I read in the Bible. And when I come across statements that even if an angel from heaven should give you a different gospel, just ignore it, I take it just like that. So as soon as I knew about Islam or Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses, those religions are completely, for me, defunct. It's that easy. But it's only that easy if you believe the word of God. In our world today, there are forces of evil which are in the church as well and in different religious systems, which are trying to bring a one world religion, stating that all religions lead to the same God. Well, they certainly do not. The demonic forces, the bad angels, have run amok, and they have done so much deception and led billions of people away from the truth about Jesus Christ. You're very familiar with Ephesians chapter 6, because the context of the war, the context of the war that is really going on, is nicely summarized in this chapter, Ephesians 6, 8 to 10. And, if you're up for it and you can read it well, we could read it out together, starting from verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. So our battle is not against human beings, okay? Human beings follow systems. Human beings are influenced by bad angels. Human beings are influenced by bad religions. But our battle is not against human beings. What we are called to do is preach the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and hope that they get saved and come into his kingdom. But the reality of the battle is this. We are in a humongous battle. Our struggle not against human beings, but against rulers and powers, which are backed by the darknesses of evil in this world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, which are doing everything that they can do to actually deceive human beings not to accept Jesus Christ as the only way to God, not to accept that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, and all of those things. And for our defense, just to remind us of the defense mechanism that God has given us, we might as well read the second part of Ephesians 6 from verse 14, saying this together. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with a readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Wow. So we're to pray for one another, we're to support one another, we're to build one another up in the one true faith that the apostles taught us, which is recorded in Scripture, and that we are to go out into the world and we are to fearlessly engage with the battle and actually preach the gospel of Jesus. And that's what the world needs. But so much of the church is being seduced into other ways of thinking that it's losing the spearhead of that gospel call. So we've learned that our fight's not against human beings, but the forces of evil that is behind every system in the heavenly realm and also behind human beings on earth. So in that sense, the demonic, the bad angels, they influence everyone to some degree. And they are out to cause trouble, strife, and everything that is not nice. I tried to make a bit of a rhyme there. And so this is the scene, this is the setting. And when we believe the word of God, it makes it very easy to discern a lot of the deceptions that are coming through other religions, whatever they might be. And I will be doing more of this when we look at every single one and showing you why they are completely opposite to Christianity. But we're talking about a battle. We're talking about a war. We know that God is holy, and we know that the opponent of God is a fallen angel and who has brought evil into the world. Or did he? Let's see what you think. Where did evil come from? We ought to have a little discussion about that, just in summary, but where has evil come from? I could ask for a show of hands, but it's clear And I'm sure that you would all agree with me on this point, that evil has not come from God. Are we all in agreement? Hallelujah. We are in unity. Evil has not come from God, because God is holy. God is always good. God is truth. There is no wickedness. There is no darkness found in God. Now, despite having this picture on the wall behind me of this apple, this lovely juicy apple, which actually I'm tempted to try and bite that myself at the moment. Despite having this picture of the apple, which is a symbol of the fall, of course it wasn't an apple, but there was forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden. But I want to tell you that evil did not originate with mankind either. God is not the source of evil. There is evil in mankind now, and there is evil in nature around us, but mankind is not the source of evil. We do have a responsibility to look at the care of the planet, look at the earth, but we're not responsible at all for natural disasters and all of the terrible things in nature that are happening. And if we read Romans chapter 8, we see that the creation under the power of evil and sin is crumbling and it's falling apart. It's waiting to be renewed. So where did evil come from? Well, you know where it came from. It hasn't come from God. It's not come from mankind, whether that's a male or a female, but evil has originated and come from angels. Did you know that? You did. Specifically, of course, originating in one angel. And evil, through the fall of that one angel, spread to one third of all angels. So the source of evil, of course, is Satan, we know as the devil. And the devil spreads evil through his force of demons, which are fallen angelic beings. So the demonic has corrupted us, has corrupted the earth, and we see the effects of evil all around us, do we not? So often evil is so much easier to see than all the good that there is around us. So the Bible talks more about this one angel, the leader of the demons, the source, the origin of evil, than the demons themselves. Satan, the devil. Well, he has 5 names and he has 24 titles in the New Testament. But I want to affirm to you that Jesus Christ has over 250 names and titles, okay? You know the number of Satan is 666, and we always say he's one brick short of a full load, because God's perfect number is 7, okay? God is 7. Holiness is God's number. Satan's number, he's one below. He's a fallen being. Now, Satan, as we all know, or I hope we know, was the first angel to rebel against God. And why did he rebel? What was going on in the mind, in the thinking center, in the emotional center of this angel, whose original name was Lucifer? Well, we have numbers of scriptures that tell us quite a story about him, and one of them is in Ezekiel chapter 28, 14 to 17, which I will read to you. This is God speaking to Lucifer and then the devil. And this is what God says about it. You were anointed as a guardian cherub. We know what a cherub is, don't we? One who guards. For so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, O guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. So that description of Lucifer, that description of Satan before he fell, he was a guardian cherub, a cherub who's guarding sacred things. But we have a description here of this cherub actually guarding the very entrance really into the throne room of God. He is in the fiery stones. This is a picture of being in God's presence. This is a picture of he was like the bodyguard, if you like, for God. He was a right-hand man. He was really close. He was right in the inner place. He was with God guarding all the time in heaven. And that's the picture of the fiery stones, and that's the picture of what God is saying. And we know that when he was created, he was blameless. It says that you were blameless in your ways from the day you were created. Now, we don't know how many millennia, we don't know how long the period was that Lucifer was there guarding things and was the right-hand side of God in the context of being an angel guarding in the heavenly realm. Obviously, Jesus is at the right hand of God. And it seems that Satan, whose original name was Lucifer, and I'll explain what Lucifer, his title, means in a moment, but he was the closest to God. He was very near to that throne of heaven. He was the highest angel. Now, Lucifer means light bringer. Lucifer means bringer of light. But when Lucifer fell and became a fallen angel, he became the opposite. He became the darkness bringer, the angel of darkness. So he started as the light bringer, living in the light with God, and something has happened that's caused his fall. Wickedness is found in him, and he becomes completely the opposite. And that's often the way it is, isn't it? You're either with God or you're against God. You're a Christian or you're not a Christian. And he was there, but now he's the bringer of darkness and he hides in the darkness. So this fallen guardian cherub is expelled from heaven by God. And if you remember my teaching about Lucifer's flood, about the age of the earth, he's cast down to heaven, boof. And there's darkness over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God is there, and then God recreates this planet. So what went wrong? What is it that went wrong? It's very simple. You know, the Bible communicates extremely brilliantly when we read it and we just piece it together. And in a way, in the simplicity, really often as a child, we just accept what it says. So what went wrong with Lucifer? Well, verse 17. Oh, I've forgotten which. I should have put that. I think that's verse 17 of Ezekiel. In your heart, your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. That's Ezekiel 28, verse 17. So what went wrong? Well, very simple, pride. Your heart, your very being became proud. Now, Collins' definition of pride says this: someone's pride is the feeling that they have that they are better. So someone's pride is the feeling that they have that they are better or more important than other people. And of course, as we know, and here it's defined, pride brings corruption. So Lucifer, he wanted to be God. I want what you've got. I'm beautiful. I'm better than you. I should have all the worship that you are having. And he was corrupted. His wisdom's corrupted because of his splendor. He fancied himself. He thought he was the best angel that there ever was, and that he should dethrone God and that he should be God. So pride brings corruption. It is so powerful, that it overrided Lucifer's own wisdom. Did you know that? You corrupted your wisdom. You know, this angel, he knew that God was God. He knew that God was eternal. He knew that God was holy. He also knew that he was a created being. He also knew that he was created by God to be the guardian cherub for God. And yet his wisdom is corrupted, and he says, I can be God. I can be better. Isn't that what pride is? It puffs you up, it raises you up, and pride, the Bible says, comes before a huge fall. And this is why God will lift up the humble. Now, Lucifer was beautiful. I mean, his name means light bearer. I mean, he's like full of light. I mean, these cherubs are amazing creatures. And he had probably, I tried to get behind his thinking, really, because he is a real being. He probably was battling with this issue of his pride for millennia. I don't know how long he was struggling with, well, it should be me who's getting all the glory. You know, it started small maybe, but it grew and it grew until it took him over. He left his wisdom, he fancied himself, and then he rebelled against God. In a way, the source of evil actually is rebellion. That's the source of it. Pride and rebellion actually, in a way, is the source of evil. But when it consumes, as it did Lucifer, then evil abounds. Do you know what I mean? It becomes only darkness. And so Lucifer, angel of light, has now become demon of darkness. Here's another account. Isaiah gives another bit of an account about the fall of Lucifer. And Isaiah uses his name here as well, which is good. It says this, Isaiah 14, 12 to 15. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. That's a fantastic name. Morning, the sun comes up in the morning, doesn't it? How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mountain of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's the outworking of pride. And that's what drove him. And as he went up and he called and he was preaching to all the angels, one third of them fancied Lucifer as well. Yeah, he'd make a good leader. Yeah, why shouldn't we get some of the praise and the adoration? And they joined with him, and then that's when there's the huge war, and then not only Lucifer or Satan is cast out, but one third of the angels are now roaming all over the earth. But verse 15 is God's judgment. Verse 15 is how it's going to end, and we know this. So verse 15 says, and this is God saying to the fallen angel, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. And of course, Sheol is a picture of the underworld. Remember, we did some teaching on the underworld, the various compartments, Sheol and Hades, the underworld, the place of death, and beyond that, even to the lowest depths of the pit. And we know that at the end of time, everything that is evil, all eternal spirits which have sided with Satan, actually will be thrown into the pit. And there they will be for eternity. So Satan has gone from brightness to darkness. He's gone from heaven, and now his judgment is to be in hell. And yet Satan still wants his own kingdom. He doesn't believe that that's his end. He has done everything he can do to frustrate the plans of God, and yet he can't beat God, can he? He tried to stop Jesus being born. He was killing all the babies, all the things that he did, and yet Jesus was born. Satan thought he'd won when he killed him on the cross, and yet he'd left his wisdom behind him, and he didn't know the plan of God, that that's exactly what Jesus was meant to do. Now, there are five names of the devil. If the devil is like a generalized sort of name, there are five names of the devil, and there they are before you. And the actual generic thing about the devil, the meaning of it, it means false accuser, slanderer. It means one who drives apart to separate. And if you think about it, when Adam ate the apple and joined the rebellion of the devil, a great separation came. He was separated from God, and with him the whole human race. And so it needed another human being, a perfect human being, Jesus Christ, to win back humanity for God. So here is his name. Satan means an adversary, one who resists, rebellion. Anything that's rebellious is not from God. Then you've heard this name, Abaddon. I'm sure you've heard of Abaddon or Apollyon, Apollyon, Apollyon. That means destructive one and a place of destruction. Beelzebub, we've probably all heard of that, haven't we? We all heard of the Lord of the Flies. Or, as I discovered, other scholars think, the Lord of Dung. Or, in short, the Dung God. That's a polite word. Beelzebub. And then Belial. Belial. Now, interestingly, the word Belial means not prophet. What does it profit a man to have everything in the world but to lose his own soul? Not prophet. So Belial, one of the names of Satan, is worthless, worthlessness and wickedness. He is worthless. And he will take people away from doing God where there is profit of eternal life to becoming wickedness and losing it and being in hell. And of course, his original name, as we've described, is Lucifer, which means brightness or morning star. Now, the other side of this is that the devil, he has five names, but he has three kind of titles that I wanted to pick out. And actually, it's interesting because the three titles that he has is all about princes. Princes, three princes. But notice there's no king title. Hallelujah. So first, we have Prince of Darkness. The only way I could try to do Prince of Darkness was to put a little white box so that you were looking at the darkness inside the box, okay? So when you see that on the screen, I was trying to describe Prince of Darkness. And darkness has always, as I've said, had the connotation of evil. You know, God is light. Lucifer lived in the light, but he exchanged it for darkness. Shifting shadows. Do you know, I remember as a kid walking home from school, I had to go through a wood from my school. I came across a common, I had to walk through a wood. And then in winter, even when I was 15 and 16, those trees, they were like ghouls. They really were. They would jump out at you. It was really quite scary. Now, the word occult means darkness. Occult means darkness or done in secret, okay? So if you think about pagan religions, particularly pagan religions, there's an awful lot of stuff that goes on under the cover of darkness. They go up to the high places and they put on their cloaks and they will do the opposite things that we do in church. So instead of having a cross, they'll have a cross upside down. And they will do a black mass instead of a holy mass, or they will distort and destroy communion. And actually, a lot of pagan religions, they try to get into churches to get hold of the elements of the bread and the wine so that they can corrupt them in their own kind of services. Anyway, that's a bit about paganism. But people plot evil in secret. Sin abounds in secrecy and in darkness. Any organization that is doing things in secret is, according to the Bible, well, is the correct name is occult. Anything done in secret. Any organization with secret things going on that the members don't know everything about it, it's called occult. And we should stay away from everything like that and preach the trueness of Jesus Christ. Now, God obviously is light. Christians, we are known as children of light, aren't we? Those who are in rebellion following the evils of the world are known in the Bible as children of darkness. We had a great sermon, didn't we, on Sunday? You know, we must be born again. We're born into a dark world. We are born influenced in the battle. We are being led astray and deceived. And we need to be born again and come into the kingdom of light. It all makes sense, doesn't it? The scriptures all come together. Now, Christ, of course, is the light, and he dispels the darkness. And we have no fear here in this place. So John 8:12 says this. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus brings life. Angels minister life. The evil one is bringing darkness and is bringing death. And of course, we know that God is light. So 1 John 1:5 says this. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. And in the new heavens and the new earth, the light of God will light up the universe. We won't actually need a sun. The second title, so one title is Prince of Darkness. The second title is Prince of This World. And here's just a picture of a book about it. John 12:31 says this. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. So the second title that the devil has is Prince of This World. And Satan and his demons are behind all that is evil in the world. I've told you this so many times, but for completeness, God gave Adam the rule of this planet. He gave it to him, and he said, this is yours. He presented the creation to him. He says, you are now the prince over the earth. Go forth and multiply and tend it. When Satan was cast down, he had no world. He had no power. He was out of heaven. He's kind of on his own with a third of the angels. And so by stealth and deception, he deceives Adam and steals his world and became the prince of this world. Can you see how that has happened? Satan is the major influence on the ideals, opinions, goals, hopes, and views actually on the majority of this planet. You know, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's pretty small. You know, I know that we say the whole of the United Kingdom, for example, is Christian. It's a Christian country. It isn't. We'd be lucky if 5% of them are born again. So Christendom, true Christianity, is actually a very small thing. But yes, it is growing and it is going out into the world. So Satan's influence encompasses world philosophies. Did you know that? You know, Satan can speak to people's minds and can encourage them to write things down. I mean, if he can create a massive religion called Islam, he influences through writing, through thoughts, through ideas. The Bible would call those the vain philosophies of men. But actually behind those vain philosophies can often be something that is quite evil. So Satan's influences encompasses the world's philosophies, education, comments, the thoughts, the ideas, false religions. He has a big impact in this planet, and he does. And that's why we need the full armor of God. That's why we need the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So his second title is Prince of this World. And boy, does he influence planet Earth and everything on it. And then his third title is Prince of the Power of the Air, or Prince of the Air. Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. And you he made alive, that's us, who were dead in trespasses in sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Do you know, it's often true that the offspring take on the characteristics of their parents. And for us as human beings, there are good things about our parents and there are bad things about our parents. And for most of us, probably, we're trying to sort out those bad things and get healed up from them. And we're wanting to honor our mothers and fathers. But we have work to do, don't we, as human beings? But the thing is that spiritually, you take on the characteristics of your dad. Now, within Christianity, we're taking on the characteristics of our Father in heaven. And actually, we do have work to do for that. We have to put to bed, to death, the sin that's with us. We still have a battle with the flesh, but actually, our heart cry, our desire is to be like our Father in heaven, and actually to be like Jesus, who's our perfect human model. But of course, the devil, he's the prince of the air. He's the prince of this planet, and he's working disobedience in those who are following him. So no wonder the world is in such a disobedient place. It's becoming more, or so it seems, it's becoming more dangerous, more stuff happening in some ways, because you take on the characteristic of your father. And so we have the third title of Satan, which is the prince of the air. Now, the power or authority of the air probably refers to Satan's host of demons who exist in the heavenly sphere. So the bottom line is Satan has power in the heavenly realm. He's got a third of the angels that are following him. He has power. Not as much as God, but God allows it to happen, as we will see. Satan even has audiences with God. I'm sure you read this when you were looking at the book of Job. Job 1, 6 to 8. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord. That's a horrible description, this. "From roaming through the earth and going to and fro in it." Isn't that a horrible kind of roaming through the earth and looking for who I can devour? You know, keeping it in darkness, and I'm going to and fro, bringing destruction. But he had an audience with God. He has power, and he's in the heavenly realm, and he's known as the Prince of the Air. Now, actually, this passage does say that God has made us alive who were once dead in trespasses in sin. When we were following, knowingly or unknowingly, the prince of the air, the prince of this world, we started like that. That's a bit of a shock, isn't it? No wonder we need to be born again. No wonder we need to change our kingdoms. A reminder that we were once living quite happily under the rule of the devil, and therefore under the wrath of God. And so in verse 3 it says, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now works in the son of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But praise be to God, we heard the truth about Jesus, we became a Christian, we exchanged darkness for light, and we've come into God's kingdom. Coming fairly quickly towards the end, there are also three pictures of the devil in the Bible. The Bible is a picture book as well. And there are three pictures of the devil in the Bible, and there they are up there. Two of them are reptiles. So the first picture is the wily serpent. We all know about the serpent in the garden, don't we? So the wily serpent first shows up in the Garden of Eden. And the NIV says of the word serpent, really crafty. The King James says the most subtle creature, the most subtle. The Bible in basic English says wiser. The Message says clever. And the NLT, the New Living Translation, says shrewdest. So, you know, when we think about the devil, some of the descriptions of this wily snake, the word wisdom is there. You know, he's very bright. You know, he's got an intellect, but it's the wrong sort of wisdom. It's the wisdom to do the most destruction in the horriblest way possible. He is clever. He's wily. He's deceptive. So that's the picture of the wily serpent. Then the second picture in Scripture is the red dragon, which we can all read about in Revelation chapter 12. And it says this, chapter 12, verses 3 to 5. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his head. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. It's a picture of the angels falling with him. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. This is a picture of Jesus Christ coming into the world. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. Satan couldn't kill Jesus. Satan couldn't destroy him. He couldn't obliterate him. He was snatched up. So he was seeking to devour the Christ child. And the woman, many people think that this is us. It's actually a picture of the church. We are in Scripture. Some believe that the woman is a picture of the church, the offspring of Jesus Christ, that we are Christians. Maybe we look more in detail in that when we do Revelation. And then the third picture, which might be a surprising one, is a prowling lion. You know about this. And of course, Jesus is pictured as a lion, isn't he? But this is pictured as a prowling lion. And 1 Peter 5:8 says this to the church: be controlled and be alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And he's looking to devour you in your thinking, in taking you out of the Bible and believing what everybody else says. He's trying to destroy you in temptation. He's trying to destroy you in so many different ways. And Peter says, watch out. Be on your guard. Don't fall for his schemes. Don't believe that all roads lead to the same God. They certainly don't. And if you did believe that, ditch it. And then you'll become free as a person and you'll receive more revelation from God. So he's seen as three creatures: the serpent, the dragon, and a prowling lion. Notice when we think about God, the Holy Spirit, God, Holy Spirit, is likened to a lovely white dove. Harmless, gentle, and doves are known for their very loving nature. So you can see the different contrasts. Some of the activities of the devil, and then we come to our last couple of slides. Some of the activities, we might pick up on some of this more next week. He's a slanderer. He uses us to speak against others and even ourselves. He's trying to get us to join in with his slandering. How many of us say, I'm no good? How many of us get thoughts in our heads? We need to check where the thoughts have come from. Every bad thought, every condemning thought, every slanderous thought is actually not come from you. It's not come from God. It's been sown by the evil one. That's why we have the helmet of salvation on, to protect our thinking. Satan is a slanderer. He slanders us and he wants us to slander others. He's a tempter. You know, is anyone like fly fishing? You see these lovely fly fishing and they go whoosh. And they're luring that fish, aren't they? just to catch that fish. Well, he sends out, temptation is like a lure. He's playing with us, swish, 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 trying to get us to bite. And then often all hell breaks loose. He's the accuser. In fact, he's the self-appointed prosecution. He hates God and he hates everything that God loves, so he hates you and he hates me. So he will accuse you. Every accusing thought you get about you or someone else, it's not come from God. And I doubt whether a lot of it's even come from you. Some of it could be soulish, but it's come from the evil one who is seeking to accuse us. And he's the destroyer. You know, an angel means a messenger. The angel Gabriel came and he said to Mary, you're going to have Jesus going to be born through you. Great message. But this type of message from Satan, the demons bring messages of sickness and death to mind and body. They want to kill us. They want to take our spirits with them into hell. Satan commands demons. He oversees the spiritual war, which is raging. He has a kingdom of disobedience. Anything like slandering, tempting, accusing, and destroying, it's all part of his kingdom. In closing, despite all of the wiles of the evil one, the devil, we must remember that he is still only titled a prince. He is not the king. There's a picture of a lion, the Lion of Judah. It's interesting that both Jesus and Satan have a lion as one of their images. The most the devil can muster is a lion prowling around, but Jesus, the Lion of Judah, has pounced upon the devil with the greatest surprise of all, his death on the cross. He paid the price for our human rebellion that we call sin. He defeated devil and all his princely powers and his influence by stamping on his head. And he proved it by rising from the grave, and Jesus has defeated death. Satan is bringing death. Jesus has defeated death, and Jesus brings life. It's wonderful. Jesus is the king from the line of Judah. And Jesus is known, as I've said, as the Lion of Judah. The lion is the king of beasts, the monarch of the forest. And thus, the lion becomes an emblem of kingly authority and of power. And did you know that the lion is both a symbol of Israel and of the tribe of Judah and, of course, of Jesus? Amen. Amen. That's the best place to end, remembering that Satan does have power, yes. He has great influence, yes. He's the prince of many things, yes. But he's not the king. He's not the king. Jesus has already defeated him. Already defeated him on the cross. The days of Satan are numbered. But God has given grace to this planet to allow time for the church to preach the gospel of Jesus, to bring people into the kingdom of light and to know Jesus personally. So we come to the end of tonight. I hope you've enjoyed it. And next week, we're seeking to really finish off on us. So there is so much more that could be said. And remember, this is more of an introduction than... But next week, we're going to finish off our introduction to angels and now fallen angels. We're going to round it all off a little bit about how demons operate, how we can recognize, to a large extent, demonic activity, how we can stand up against it, how we can deal with it in practical ways. And just a reminder to you that the week after next, we're kind of having a fellowship evening with some great songs a week after next, but we'll have a testimony night because I know some of you have had encounters with angels. And could I remind you that if you think you've got a testimony about this, just to see me quickly afterwards down the front, come and grab me and say, yes, you know, I want to be part of that night. I have another story to tell, and we'll see what happens. Are you up for that? Yeah, you'll go for that? So let's close our evening this evening with a prayer. Father in heaven, we don't need a long prayer. You are king. It says it all. You are the Lord of everything. And in you do we have our being. You hold us in the palm of your hand, and nothing can take us out of it. And so, Father, we just pray for each person here this evening that as we go away, we would go away actually with the confidence of who we are as Christians, with the confidence that the battle is already won. Lord, we just pray protection over us in every single way. Lord, we thank you that your ministering angels have been here with us, and I pray that they would minister to us really good and positive things until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.